You may remember that 118 crewmen died in a series of explosions. It caused the Russian submarine, the Kursk, to sink. How many of you remember that? 23 of these men survived in an isolated chamber for several hours after the explosion. One of them was a 27-year-old lieutenant captain. His name was Dmitry Kolesnikov. And Dmitry wrote a note to his wife while he waited to die. Two words from that note were displayed in a black frame right next to his coffin, an epitaph, so to speak. He had written these words, "Mustn't despair." Do you remember those words? "Mustn't despair." When human beings experience that moment in their lives when they know they are going to die, it's almost instinctive that we want to send out some kind of message. We want others to know our story. Maybe you remember a little further back, 1985, passengers spiraling down to their death in a JAL airliner in 1985. The last moments of their lives, they wrote letters to their loved ones. Prisoners of the Nazis in a Warsaw ghetto, after seeing people shot or starved to death, used their last breath to write notes. Many of them pushed into crevices in the wall, with the hope that somebody besides those Nazi thugs would read those notes and would know their stories. So let me ask you this morning as we begin, what is the story that you want to leave behind? What is the story that you would like others to know about you? Because after all the things in our life, after all the scaffolding of life gets ripped away, all the stupid toys that we spend our lives chasing, you know what they are, success, reputation, security, wealth, comfort, ease. We recognize at the end of our lives that it means really nothing. And all of us will be left with what is really at the core of who we are. What is it that you really believe? What is it that you have built your life upon? If that moment were to come to you, and I will say if Jesus doesn't come first, it will come for you. We spend our whole lives pretending that it'll never come, recognized or not. That final moment will come for each of us. If it were here right now, what story would you want to write? What's the story that you want to leave behind? So turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. Jewel's done a great preparation to this story. Because this moment came in the lives of these three young men. These are three men of great promise. They've risen to positions of power and prominence in the world's most incredibly large nation. These men could look forward to great families and plenty of wealth and deeply fulfilling lives and doing great things for God's people. Their hearts were full of hopes and dreams. You have to understand that all they had to do was just simply say the word. This is from last week, if you were here with us last week. Bend the knee, and this nightmare that they found themselves in would be over. They would live and be restored to their positions of power and status and honor. But they were headed instead toward unimaginable pain and death. Just one word would rescue them, but they would not say it. They would not say that one word. They would not bend the knee. Life or death. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego chose death. Let's look at the first passage. The God we serve, this is from last week, the God we serve is able to save us. Our God is able, amen? The God we serve is able to save us, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say. We don't know who is speaking for the three. But even if he does not, we also spoke of that last week. What happens when he does not? We want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Now we pick up in verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His attitude towards them changed. Literally, in the Hebrew language, it was more than just his attitude. His whole countenance, he was completely changed. The expression of his face suddenly changed. Now, if you remember last week when they first brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to him, he was upset, but his first response was to kind of use kid gloves with these three men. He really liked these guys. We saw last week in verse 15, he tries to woo them to the other side. He said, now when you hear the music, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image that I made, then very good. You can have it all back. It's all yours. But now we find ourselves in a different place. In the face of their staggering commitment to face death rather than disobey God, Nebuchadnezzar completely loses it. He flies into a rage. His attitude towards them changed. He now ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than normal. So kind of get this experience now. Nebuchadnezzar has now, he has fallen into a huge rage. He's heated this furnace 7 times hotter than it was. Basically saying, I want you to crank that furnace up as hot as it possibly can be. These guys are toast. So I want you to think for a moment about what these men are facing. Any of you ever burn yourself with a match? Any of you ever burn yourself on a stove? Or maybe reaching into the oven to put a tray of cookies or pull a tray of cookies out? It's painful. In addition to the physical pain that can often be involved, you know that to deliberately burn someone else, to burn someone to death, is historically one of the most inhumane forms of execution. So here's Nebuchadnezzar. He sees what's going on with these three men, and they're waiting. They're waiting to be thrown into the flames. Let's look at verse 21. So these young men, wearing their robes, their trousers, their turbans, and other clothes, quite a lot of clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire immediately killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. These men are tied so tightly, they are bound so tightly, that they have to be literally carried and thrown into the furnace. And this furnace is so hot that even these guards, these most trusted guards of Nebuchadnezzar, who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, are also killed. Now, these details are important. The writer wants us to grab a hold of these. The writer wants us to understand that Nebuchadnezzar's rage is so out of control that he has killed some of his most loyal guards, and it doesn't even register with him. That's the setting. So I want to stop for a moment. I want to ask you to imagine yourself the experience of these three young men facing what looks to be the final moment of their life on earth. They have been faithful to the very end. Since they first heard the decree, the command to bow down before a statue of God, they'd seen the end coming, and every avenue, every door, every exit has been shut. And now they're carried to the furnace. Now remember, these are real people. These are people filled most likely with fear, but these three had faith to overcome their fear. They feel the heat. They've seen men who are thrown into the furnace immediately die. And now they're thrown into the fire. And they wait for the searing pain. They wait for the numbness. They wait for the inhalation of smoke to suffocate their lungs. But it doesn't come. They don't feel any different. And it begins to dawn on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they're not even warm. There are no burns. There is no smoke. They're not even tied up anymore. They are walking around in that fiery furnace that has been made hotter, 7 times hotter than it normally is. But that's not the best part of the story. The best part of the story happens when this turns from a miracle into an encounter with the Almighty God. Look at verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement. One translation says trepidation. So literally, there was some fear as Nebuchadnezzar looks into the fire. He asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th looks like what? Son of the gods. There's a 4th member of the furnace club. And this man was unharmed. Apparently, he is the one who has delivered the other 3. And this son of the gods, interestingly enough, convenes a little worship service right there in the midst of this fiery furnace. So let me ask you this morning, who was this 4th man? Who appears from nowhere, who can cheat death and looks in appearance like a son of the gods. Well, the text doesn't tell us who it is, but I kind of believe it's Jesus. Maybe you do too. It sounds like the kind of thing that Jesus would do, doesn't it? And they're all walking around in the furnace together, and apparently they spent a little bit of time together there in that furnace. I wonder what they said to each other. I wonder if that 4th man in the furnace must have told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego how incredibly proud the Father God in heaven was of their loyalty and love. Don't you think? I wonder if he told them that because of this one act of faithfulness, that their names that were given to them by the Babylonians so they would forget their Hebrew names that had Yahweh included in them, that their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would be remembered throughout history. And I wonder what they said to the 4th man, the son of the gods. I'll bet you they must have poured out their adoration and their gratitude and their wonder and their worship like they never had. Can you imagine a worship service like this? It's a funny thing. They came to this place planning on having to withhold their worship from a false god. But they end up worshiping like they had never worshiped in their lives. Isn't that amazing? And the furnace, which looked like it meant the end of their lives, turns out to be the safest place on earth. Wow. Because the furnace turns out to be a place where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego met God face to face. Here's the whole point of the story. They were hoping to get delivered from the furnace, but God decided to deliver them in the furnace. Are you with me? Sometimes God delivers us from the furnace, but sometimes God delivers us right in the furnace. Jesus said to them what he says to you and I today, I will meet you no matter what you're going through, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the pain, no matter how much you're suffering, I will meet you right in the middle of that furnace. Because I think Jesus is a furnace kind of guy, don't you? It turns out, amazingly enough, that the furnace is the safest place on earth. Wow. It turns out, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this is the adventure of a lifetime. And Jesus is saying to you, and he's saying to me today, the same thing. I'll meet you in the furnace. You follow me, it's going to look dark at times. It's going to get a little dangerous at times. Sometimes it's going to be really, really scary. But if you keep following me, I will meet you right in the middle of that pain, right in the middle of that suffering, right in the middle of that loss, right in the middle of that trauma. I will meet you in the middle of that furnace. Let's keep going, verse 26. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace. It doesn't say it, but I'll bet he kind of approached it from a bit of a distance, don't you think? This thing's hot. He approached the opening of the blazing furnace and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out of the fire. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there to watch this? And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal advisors, we heard all that last week many times, they crowded around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was even the hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched. And there was not even the smell of fire. Can you imagine? Remember back to verse 21, we saw that the writer goes into great detail about all the clothes that these three men are wearing. Do you remember that? Right? He kind of lists all these different kinds of clothes. Robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes. Why does he do that? Does he have an eye for fashion? I think he wants us to understand the miracle. Not only are these men saved and their hair is okay, but God even protects all of these clothes that they're wearing. Look at verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servant. They trusted in him and defied the king's command." He's talking about himself, right? Who's the king? Nebuchadnezzar. This man, he kills his own loyal guards in carelessness, and it didn't even register with him. He now congratulates Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for having the audacity to defy him. Something's going on in this man, right? They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Look at verse 29. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation, language, who say anything against God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oh, here we go, should be cut to pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble. He's not really big on the Bill of Rights here. For no other God can save in this way. That's the gospel, isn't it? And now verse 30, this is what it ends with. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. He doesn't just restore them, he gives them promotions, new positions of influence, new positions where they have new opportunities to serve. And I wonder what the rest of their lives were like. We don't know, because this is the last time that we ever hear about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I wonder, as they went through life, I wonder if they ever thought how easily they may have missed this adventure. How easily they could have missed it. If they'd just given in to fear, one word, one bent knee, they would have missed the adventure of their lives. I wonder if when they were really, really old men, many, many years later, on the anniversary of this particular date, I wonder if they all got together in a reunion and celebrated a bit. Maybe they would wear all of those clothes, all of those turbans and robes and all those clothes. And you know how wives are. Well, wives would tell them to throw away those clothes because they had old holes in them. And well, they're not in fashion anymore. But they refused. And maybe they would think back and remember the time when they were all young men, all full of courage, all full of faith. And they defied a powerful king and walked around in the flames and spent a few moments of their time with the Almighty God of the universe. So I want to ask you today, I want to ask you to consider doing something dangerous. Is that okay? I want to ask you to do something dangerous. I want to ask you to consider something. That you stop asking for less heat in your life. I know that sounds counterintuitive, right? That you stop asking for less suffering. That you stop asking for less pain. That you stop asking for less difficulty or trials, if that's what you've been asking for. That you don't ask for easier or richer or more pleasant or more secure in your life, because there is something far better. I want to invite you to just consider praying a prayer. God, give me an opportunity to show my devotion to you. I don't primarily ask God for the comfort or the riches or ease or security. God, give me an opportunity to be fully faithful for you. And if you're not sure that you can be fully faithful, if you're not sure of your full devotion, then I just encourage you to be honest about that with God. Talk to him about that. But maybe you and I stop needing to stop praying for deliverance from the furnace. Maybe you and I need to start praying for the presence of God to meet us in the midst of our furnace. Throughout history, thousands of people, ordinary men and women, just like you and me, who have long been forgotten, names and faces that will never be remembered, and that they were willing to go into the furnace. And in that furnace, God loved them so much. And these people would say, I will give you everything, O God. I will die for you. When they did, when their final moment came, and it will come for all of us, when they did, they knew, mustn't despair. Mustn't despair. God said to them what he says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what he said to Stephen, who was the very first follower of Jesus Christ to be martyred, what he said to Peter and to Paul, who were persecuted and beaten and jailed and most likely martyred for their faith. I will meet you in the furnace if you dare. If you dare. So this is your day. This is my day, friends. This is our day. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had their day. Daniel had his day. Esther had her day. Stephen had his day. Peter and Paul had their days. Dietrich Bonhoeffer had his day. Corrie Ten Boom had her day. This is your day. This is your moment. So I don't know what kind of furnace you're going through right now. I don't know what this means for you. But what I do know is that the God that we serve will meet us right there. The God that you and I serve, the one who took on himself our suffering, our pain, our condemnation, our sin, he says to us, fear not, though you pass through the flames, they will not burn you. They will not destroy you. Listen to a God who says, I will meet you right in the middle of that furnace.